and welcome to Book Solid. I'm your host, Soraya, and today I'm joined by fellow bookstagrammer Liz, who you can find on Instagram at another reader account, and we're going to be discussing 7 Days in June by Tia Williams.
Spoiler alert. Hey guys, just as a heads up, we will be revealing spoilers in this episode. If you haven't yet read the book or seen the show or film, this is a courteous reminder to proceed with caution.
Liz, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So before we jump in, if you want to tell people a little bit about your bookstagram and the kind of content you create.
Yeah, so my name's Liz, but my bookstagram account is at another reader account. And basically, it's just a really like full of different types of books. I like thrillers, romance, a little bit of nonfiction and memoirs. Haven't gotten to fantasy just yet, but it's really just me posting whatever I'm reading and whatever I'm into. So it's been a great way to pass time during the pandemic as well.
Yeah, wait, I definitely feel that. That's the pandemic birthed Book Solid as well. So if there's ever a time to like seek comfort from books, I feel like these past few years were.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Disappearing into a book was just everything. Like, yes. Definitely what I needed. And meeting people like you on Bookstagram has been amazing. So I'm really grateful for it.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how, I really didn't know much about the Bookstagram community until creating the podcast. And I was like, this is the like least toxic, most comforting social media I've ever seen.
Yes. I've never been so excited to like look at my stories and just like be able to just chill out and talk about books and life in like such a nice, calming, cool way. And like, it's really cool actually to like meet different people across the globe as well, like through Bookstagram. So that's been really fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So today, y'all know by the title, I'm sure, but we're going to be discussing 7 Days in June by Tia Williams. And I'm really excited because I was so tardy to the party on this book. And so I finally had a reason to read it when we were recording this. So I'll let you go ahead. And what are your thoughts on the book?
Oh my gosh, so many thoughts. I mean, first of all, I just have to say that because this was everywhere on Bookstagram, honestly, I started to kind of avoid the book because, you know, some of those really popular books, they might not be great. But once I am very much an audiobook lover, so I encourage everyone to get the audio on this. And I thought this was the most sensual, beautiful, intense romance. And it was, I love the way how Tia wrote, like, it was almost like you were just talking to your best friend reading through all of this. And it was really intense, surprisingly. So definitely like recommend this book a lot. But yeah, it was definitely different from the other romance books. It wasn't your typical structure, boy meets girl, whatever. Like there's so many hidden gems in there and just like learning their background, the stories, Eva's and Shane's, and how complex and complicated everything is. I mean, real life is complicated and love is too, but theirs was just like, I don't even know if they should be together. Like that's how it kind of ended up feeling to me. Like, wow, this is a lot. I have no idea how real people would handle this. But yeah.
I completely agree. Like when I see a book blowing up like that, it makes me hesitant to read it just because I feel like oftentimes books or movies, they never end up living up to the hype for me. Like what everyone's just like, it's amazing. I feel like I go in, expectations are way too high and then I can never meet them and I'm just disappointed. but this one really did. And like you said, it is so intense. And I wasn't like, I heard romance and was thinking it was going to be like a light, I don't want to say beachy read, but like, you know, just something like kind of light and romantic. Yes. And that's just not at all what this is. And I actually really appreciate that because like you said, life is complicated and, you know, there is a time and a place for a light romantic beach read, but I love seeing really complex, flawed characters. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're written so well and like going on this journey with them. And I know we'll get into this later, like as we keep talking, but I love that. I feel like sometimes in romance books, people treat their partner, significant other, like they're there to fix them or heal them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in this book, they did a lot of healing on their own and then came together. And I really liked that. And I feel like that's also more like we should be pushing for more of that in books and literature or any kind of media, just because like I think that idea of like finding your soulmate and they're gonna patch you up and you need them to survive is like kind of a, I don't want to say dangerous mentality, but it can be kind of toxic.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, like wondering should they even be together. I wrote in my notes, like, as teenagers, like them being separated, the circumstances in which it happened were horrible, but them being separated was probably the best thing that could have happened to them.
Yeah,
because they were on a dangerous path. So yeah, I wanted to, I guess I'll just start with like the first thing in my notes, which was Eva's condition, like her chronic headaches or migraines. I thought that was written really, really well throughout the book. And I have not read many books where the protagonist suffers from chronic pain. And I just feel like the way that Tia wrote it in made, because I think a lot of people write off chronic pain because they don't understand it, or if it's not happening to them, they don't realize how debilitating it can be or how like all-encompassing it is in your life. And so I don't know. I appreciated her putting that in as part of Eva's character and kind of showing the readers what it can be like to have to deal with something like that on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. And I was actually in a book club where Tia Williams kind of visited us really quickly. And she said she like also suffers from like migraines and stuff. So it was very real for her. And, you know, her being able to like actually give this character, you know, a more fleshed out type of persona, like, yeah, she has chronic migraines, but like it's more intense than that. It affects all of her life, from, you know, her being less open in relationships to, you know, not wanting to go out and, you know, be social, or like how hard it is for her to actually be around people and even to be a mother, like how chronic this pain is. And I think, like you were saying earlier, like a lot of romance books are very, you know, light and fluffy, and I kind of thought of it as Disney-fied. A lot of romance books are like, this is cute, you love it, but there's not any real conflict or anything within the characters. And this book is complete opposite of that. And just starting with like learning about Eva and what's ailing her and holds her back from so much in life was really interesting to get into. Especially since I'm not, you know, thankfully, knock on wood, not one who suffers from migraines. So like being able to really feel for her, you know, and just, it really made me root for her, because to experience something like that debilitating and still her, you know, trying to be a successful author and a single mother, I mean, like props to this character.
Yes. Like getting up every day and just like being a human. Like, I feel like it was crazy because it put into perspective so many things that I think a lot of us, like people who aren't suffering from chronic pain, take for granted.
Yes.
Being able to get up and go have lunch with your friends, being able to, you know, complete the work you need to do for the day, go write something, go to the grocery store, taking care of your child, you know, like the fact that she has to push through and power through that immense pain every day just to do like the daily tasks of being a human. Yeah, I couldn't even imagine. Yeah. And oh my gosh, that line broke my heart when she was talking about her ex-husband. When he was like, I wanted a wife, not a patient.
Oh my God. That was terrible. That was, but so real, because I think so many people go through such hard things, relationships all the time. And this guy, he seemed like the perfect, like honestly, the Disney prince, right? Like he had everything going together. He was uncomplicated, not into fighting and everything. And she was just like, this is real life for me. And this is how painful it is for me to go through things. And she can't just wake up and be perfect looking, you know, like she, you know, she was getting sick all the time and, you know, having to do shots to mitigate the pain, and him just being like, I can't accept how horrible this is. You know, like he couldn't even sugarcoat it. It was sad. And it's kind of like, I understand why Eva shut herself off to love after that, because obviously no one wants to show their worst selves, but you do want someone to be there for you in your worst moments. And I feel like if you have a partner like that, you know, that's what you signed up for, you know, and you're supposed to try to get through it together. And that was wild. I really was glad that he wasn't written too much more into the story after that. Like, okay, he's a great dad, and we send Audrey off to California land, or what'd she call it? Dad land?
Dadafornia?
Dadafornia? Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's party time. Happiness, cool. But I don't need to talk any more about him. Like, I'm glad that he was good for Eva when she needed uncomplicated in her life. And we got Audrey out of it, which I think she's a fan favorite, honestly. So, yeah.
She really was. Yeah, because I was like, I don't know how we're supposed to forgive him after that comment. So please don't be working him into the story that much.
Right.
Like, oh, that was... Yeah, that was
it's rough. Also real, because I'm sure there's so many people who like want to be there for other people, but sometimes it's just too hard. And in a way, you might say, like, you know what, maybe that was the best choice he made for himself too, because mm-hmm. you also don't want a partner who's just not in it 100% with you and is just checked out. Like, I feel like that's also kind of a horrible thing to just stay in a relationship and be stuck. You know?
Like, they're just, they're out of obligation.
Yeah.
Because that was his wife and not because he, like, genuinely wanted to care for her.
Yet. Exactly. And I feel like with how observant Audrey is, she would call them both out on that. Like, are you guys, like, seriously going to stick together? Like, let me just psychoanalyze both of you. You suck together. Get divorced, please. Like,
Audrey, okay, we can talk about her for a little bit, because I feel like the role of, or like the character of like mm-hmm. a precocious child can be written in a way that's really like kind of contrived or like unoriginal. Like, I feel like that is a type of character that can very easily just be like kind of unrealistic, but she was written perfectly. She's so endearing, so charming, so funny, and was just like the perfect kind of, I don't want to call her comedic relief because she was more than that, but she was just perfect.
She really was, just like in every way. I mean, and yeah, she was a little bit of lighthearted relief that we needed, because this book, again, is just so intense at times. And so being able to have that in there. And also, I think that, you know, Tia did a great job of kind of getting us, you know, into Audrey's mind even more. Like, she wasn't just there for jokes. Like, you know, she saw what her mom goes through every day, and she became kind of her caretaker and her best friend, you know, just the two of them. So, like, really seeing how, I don't know if she was deflecting by, like, analyzing everyone else around her, but just being able to see how, you know, she had to cope with her mom's illness and really wants to be her protector. Like, it just makes you love this girl even more. And, you know, wish for the best for her. And also, like, you're kind of amazed how the two of them are able to, you know, work through life and, like, you know, excel. Like, okay, Audrey's like an A+ student and amazing, but she has real flaws too and things that she needs to work on. But as a kid, like, wow, she's more advanced and cooler than any character I could think of. Like, honestly, I wouldn't have been mad if we had more chapters with Audrey in it. Like, just her, like, inner dialogue is fantastic.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Because she was 12, right? Or was she?
She's young. She's definitely, yeah. Like, she's not a teenager yet. Like, she's a tween. I remember when her mom got mad at her.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
like, you freaking tween. Okay, it's perfect.
I was going to say, like, how many people that age have the ability to, like, to think outside or like look outside themselves or even want to, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
her genuine care for her mom, like, so many, like, I'm not trying to fault tweens or teens, we've all been there, they're very self-absorbed, you know what I mean? Like, it's very you are the main character, like, you're not worried about anyone else. And her, like you said, way of like looking out for her mom and trying to vet Shane, and then their little budding relationship, precious.
I loved it. Yeah. Cause I'm even thinking back to like how I was as a tween. I was not like interested in my mom's, like my mom and dad's relationship, or like even my friends, when like they would start having like boyfriends or girlfriends, I'd be like, that's weird. Why do you like him? Like, can we like go and do our nails or something? Like, yeah, like this is not. So yeah, her being just so like in tune with everything and observant. I mean, that was fantastic. And honestly, I think that Eva needed that. Like, mm-hmm. again, I think Eva in that time of her life was choosing what was safe and who wouldn't really, you know, try to get to know the real her. And I think I loved having Audrey there to be able to see who Shane was and also see what he could do for her mom. Like, I really did appreciate that there was someone to vet him for her, because I mean, to be honest, Eva could have gone either way and I would have been happy either with either choice she made, whether to keep with Shane or, you know, to slam the door in his face. And then we just keep talking about Eva and Audrey throughout the rest of the book. So
I know, like, can we get like a follow up just about Audrey and her life and how she's doing?
Oh my gosh. I would read that. So like a tiny little like okay, how her teens are going or whatever. And like, does she have her practice open yet? Like, how many patients does she have? And oh, and what if she wrote her own book? Like, oh my God, Audrey.
Like kind of how her mom did, like, but like from her point of view.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
That would be so cool. Oh my gosh. I'd read that immediately. Yeah.
Like, can we just like kindly ask Tia Williams, like, if you have some spare time and you want to write a little novella from yeah. Audrey's perspective,
we're here and
we're waiting. I kind of want to talk about, do you want to talk about Shane and Eva when they were in their teens, or I guess just their relationship in general? Cause I feel like you can't talk about the past without also the present.
Yeah. Cause like, yeah, we could talk about that. I mean, Tia wove it all together so beautifully too, but you kind of, I guess overall the way I describe a relationship is beautifully toxic. Like, and the thing is if I had only gotten the adult side, the perspective of Shane and Eva together, I would have been more confused. I think of like, why are you guys so obsessed with each other? But being able to get that background, like their past as teens and, you know, how they both grew up with such hard past, like Shane basically, you know, being an abandoned foster kid and Genevieve, you know, I love that. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, Eva, you should have kept that. Genevieve Mercy would have been really cute. But yeah, just seeing how hard it was, like her mom wasn't really a mom and she had to take care of herself from day one, basically. And seeing how these two, you know, tortured souls find each other in 7 days in June. I mean, the romance there is just, it's too good. And also the things they went through, I feel like they were just ready for the worst parts of life because their youth was just so hard for them. Like, it's very interesting, like the way Tia really delved into like how hard their lives were as children. And so now, like in the present, I guess present tense, as they're adults and stuff, it makes sense how they would be drawn to each other again after, what was it, 15 years not being in each other's lives?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something about not only just falling back into what's old and comfortable, but also like there's so many unanswered questions between the two of them and like, what happened? I mean, I'm assuming, of course, our listeners are going to have read this whole book. So,
oh yeah, and we got a spoiler alert. So go ahead.
Okay, perfect. The spoiler alert's in there. So yeah, I'm just like, you know, after Shane just leaves her when she's like a little teen after overdose, like I would be so hurt and scarred from that, and so many questions. And so, I don't blame Eva, adult Eva, for being curious when he just reappears in her life. Like I would want some answers for sure. Like what happened? You know, did you not love me anymore? Was it too much? Cause I mean, they were into some intense things. Like teen relationships are hard, but having all that trauma and as well as drugs and, you know, her condition is still horrible from the get go. Like she's having to, pain is her life, you know, having to cope through all of that. So him being that bright light and that love for her in those moments, like I feel like he just was that hope in the darkness for her all over again. And them being as adults, I was rooting for it until it was kind of like you saw that there were still issues. Like Shane, you know, I love Shane, but you're just trading addictions for one after the other. And I feel like he was more so just addicted to Eva than in love with her. I think he truly does love her, but it's hard to see what's clear about his love when he just has all these other things going on. And also, can we just talk about how they were like writing their books to each other? Like,
oh my gosh, yes. I know the iconic line of the stop writing about me and you first. I know it's all over Bookstagram, but it is around for a reason, y'all, because damn.
Like that was
I was listening to it on audio and that line came and I was like, oh, excuse right? me.
It's like your heart starts like beating even harder. Like, oh my God, really? Oh my gosh. That was the most rarely like book nerd moment of the century. Like, oh my
yes,
gosh.
I loved that. And yeah, I just want to like touch on what you said about them too. Cause I wanted to talk about the literary aspect of it. But their relationship. Yeah. Like I understand the draw and the connection of like, they are the first person that the other has met that they feel truly understands them. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, you know, aren't we all looking for that? Like, for someone who gets you and sees you wholly and completely, and you don't have to feel embarrassed or ashamed. But like you said, it's like, it's just it's a little more complicated than that, because like Shane, I think he is addicted to feeling good.
Yes.
And in his past, that was alcohol. And like you said, now it's Eva. And it just, because at first I was like, you're going to have to really sell me on how they could have been together for 1 week 15 years ago. And there's like, and like, you know, how was that love? Right. And I don't, you know, I still don't know if that was necessarily love that they were in way back when, but I can understand now this like intense passion and need for the other.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about, I really appreciated the way that Tia Williams explored mental health for both of them. Cause I feel like I have not, there, it's not very common. I mean, okay, let me back up. It's becoming increasingly more common, I feel like, not only for people to talk about it, but for it to be appearing in literature like this, but in like books with Black protagonists, I have not seen that discussion happen very often. And so just like the way that mental health played a role, and the way, again, like when we're talking about the chronic pain, I feel like the way that she described what they were going through as teenagers also felt very, very, very realistic. Like, I completely understood why they felt the way they felt and how their backgrounds like played a role in the behaviors that they were partaking in, and their like desperate need to cling to each other when they were in high school. Like, that all checked out. And then, okay, let's fast forward back into the present. My biggest issue with their relationship, like as it's happening in real time, is I feel like there's still a complete and utter lack of communication. And that really bothers me. Like, the, when they got back together and they're at the party, everyone's all happy. They're like, yeah, we're going to go to the brunch tomorrow. And he just doesn't show up. How hard is it to send a message? And I know he's like, he was in such a hurry, such a rush that he forgot. But to me, like, I got really annoyed at that part because it felt like drama just for drama's sake. And I was like, wait, what? Like, why? Why? I hate when people, like, when things can be solved by just simply communicating with each other. But once I got to the end of the book, I actually appreciated that happening, because I don't think they should have been together at that point. I feel like they both internally still had a lot of work they needed to do on their own. And like you said, it's kind of a toss up on if they needed to get back together that soon at all, because they even said, like, or he said to her at the Lydia Awards, like, I'm not ready for this yet. I need to do a lot of work. And it was, what, 2 or 3 months later that they end up getting back together? How much work did you do in that time?
Yeah, honestly, it was, man, when he just dipped without a single text or a smoke signal, anything. And knowing that Audrey, like, that child, like, even though she is so strong, like, she's still a child. Like, you, at the very least, you could have let her know somehow, like, you know, okay, I'm not going to, like, remember, there's a kid involved too. Like, I'm not going to be able to make it on time because of this other terrible tragedy. But I think that also Shane admits to himself, like he has never had to be responsible for anyone besides himself in a very long time. And he was barely responsible for taking care of himself, like the way he treated himself. And, you know, he was like, so many things are a blur for him because he was always just like on drugs or high or drunk and all that stuff. So him finally be able to have clarity and be in a relationship and, you know, get along with them. Like, I think it is so hard to break habits and forgetting about them and like it all going out the door, because he was in such pain mentally for, you know, thinking that he was responsible for this child's death, or, and like him immediately just self-sabotage, like over and over in his brain. Like, he really has so much trauma to work on, because again, he, you know, your whole life has been this whole thing, like you hating yourself and drugging yourself to not feel things. And, you know, now all of a sudden you're sober. I think this was really a realistic way that Tia wrote it. Because Eva's back in your life doesn't mean everything, you know, goes to something beautiful and, you know, unicorns and Disney-fied, you know, like it sucked and it made me hate Shane, but it also made me see him as even more human, because like, mm-hmm. we can see like all the things he should have been doing right. But he just, it's hard to break the old habits. And, you know, even though he's a grown man now and he should have known better, he just, you know, he just still isn't able to get out of his own head. And it's sad, but I do appreciate how Eva was just so aware of the limitations that they had, you know, taking care of themselves, but also how like they weren't communicating and they weren't ready for a relationship. And I think that was really brave and strong of her to be able to admit that they have weaknesses and that they shouldn't be together. Because I think, like, even though Shane was like, yeah, I'm not ready for a relationship, but like, I think if Eva had pushed even more, he would have gone back and be like, you know what? Yeah, let's stay together.
We'll try.
Yeah, exactly. And work this out. So I feel like Eva was definitely the one here with the common sense. And I think also her being a mother kind of made that even more of a, like, you know, I have to choose me and my child before I, because again, you can't fix anyone. They have to want to fix themselves.
I was just going to say that. Like, you don't want to have to be in the business of changing somebody. Exactly, like,
yeah.
And she's already, I don't want to say settled, but she's already done this once before. She's gotten with somebody who wasn't ready to be with her. And she saw how that ended. And I appreciated that she recognized that a second time around. It was like, I'm not doing this again. Just because it feels good and just because it, like, the good is not going to outweigh the potential bad, right, of if we rush into this too soon.
Right, yeah. And you have to accept the bad with the good. And, you know, there are some trade-offs that you have to make because you can't be happy all the time in a relationship. But the whole, like, his immediate response is to just abandon, and her trigger is being abandoned. That's just so unhealthy for the two of them. And I really appreciate that they were eventually both able to recognize that. But yeah, it's like 2022. What was this book written? 2020, 21? Like, we have text messages. Like, even, like, I don't know, a DM on Instagram or something. Like, yeah.
Just, there's been an emergency. That's all I had to say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because the way that, like, we're so connected now, like, it's just like, yeah, I get your point. Like, there was some drama that had to happen. I guess it was a lot. But it's like, again, it's like, I think it's just showing how freaking toxic Shane is to himself. And, he has this internal monologue, like, I always ruin everything, you know, for everyone else. And so that was just his MO. Like, I've done something horrible, probably, to make this kid go through all the pain he's gone through, which he didn't. So of course I'm not worthy to even give Eva and Audrey a heads up that I won't be able to show up, because he's thinking in his head, of course I wasn't going to be able to make it because something always bad happens because of me. And
I always disappoint people. Yeah. I let them down. And
yeah,
he is the king of self-sabotage.
You were seriously
absolutely right about that. And that was the thing too, is like, I think they needed to get to know each other as adults.
Yeah.
You know, like, they really didn't know each other that well. I mean, they've shared things that most people haven't with another person, or like, they got close really quickly because of their backgrounds and because of what happened to them 15 years before, but they didn't really know each other on like a base level. And so I thought that whole scene, or that sequence of them like texting while she was on her trip writing the book, and kind of talking and just like actually talking, like, how's your day? How are you doing? Joking around, like just becoming friends. I thought that was really sweet. And was like progress toward what they needed to work toward before committing to this relationship. I did think it was really sweet that Audrey, when she dropped her off at the airport, she was like, I know he didn't show mom, but like, hear him out or something. Yeah. Like that. Like, not even being hurt or angry, but just again, showing us how ridiculously observant she is.
Yeah, that was super sweet of Audrey. And she just really wants the best for her mom. And she saw the good in Shane. And I think the fact that he was trying, you know, I wish the communication has happened earlier. But again, these are two like people who, you know, with Eva being touch starved and Shane just going through life not wanting to get close to anyone, you know, emotionally and physically, like, as soon as they met, like, I feel like the feelings and the physical, like, touch and everything was so much more powerful. They felt like, I don't need to communicate. I know who this person mm-hmm. was. And, you know, what I'm feeling now is something that they both were desperately needing and they were both starved for. So the whole, like, it was just like, you know, a spark igniting as soon as they met. Like, it's just like, I don't blame you for not like getting to know, like, hey, how's the, you know, past traumas? How have you been dealing with all of those?
You know, yeah, like, how are you, what are your coping mechanisms these
what
days?
What have you been like, up to? It's like, no, this is hot. Like, let's go. Like, let's go for it.
And it's like, you know what I mean? I think it's easy to fall into lust, yes, and passion. Like,
very easy.
Everyone, like, people are human, and when things feel good, it's like easy to give in to that. And I can see like why they were kind of blinded by that at first, but that will burn off eventually. And, you know, what are you going to be left with? Yeah. And I think, like you're saying, that's what they're maybe were starting to realize at the Lydia Awards. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't live in this little perfect, you know, sexy, happy bubble, because that's going to dissipate. And then what will this be for us? What does this mean for us, what we're doing here? And just coming to terms, like, with, you know, there are, we're in the real world, unfortunately. And so just realizing, like, we have a lot of things we need to work on and figure out. I did want to touch on, I loved the like literary aspect of this book, like them both being writers, the Lydia Awards. I wish I was there. That was so cool.
Like the first moment when they like just locked eyes, like, oh my gosh, that was beautiful. That was like, you felt it in your bones.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, okay, something really big is about to happen. And everyone else sensing it in the room too. Oh my gosh. That was great.
So good. And then like everyone being like, oh my god, the tattoos match.
When like all the fans are able to just like start like getting all the clues together, I'm like, oh my god, the fan fiction is gonna be insane, like in the real world after that. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Some of the characters too, like the panel, like the one we're talking about where they first showed up, I cannot remember his name, but
the guy
who was in the panel, I was dying at how she wrote him. Hilarious, because we all know somebody like that.
Yes. Yeah. It was, I mean, he was like, yeah, I'm just gonna, you know, dominate this whole thing, and, you know, black man, yeah, da, da, da. I'm like, what you're doing is cute, but it's not important for the culture. And I was like, oh my god, like, everyone knows this guy. And oh my gosh, you appreciate it, but I really appreciate it when Shane was just able to put him down.
Shut
like,
it down, yes.
We're not going, my brother. Like, no.
The other girl on the panel too, I cannot remember who it was, but her response is, she said something to him like, so do you care about black women or just black men where you're at?
She was awesome. That was amazing. She was like Eva's like friend too, wasn't she? Or
was it her, the one who does poetry?
I think, or like there was an agent there too.
The one who
that just, was,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. And it was just like amazing, like having the two of them, you know, battle him while, you know, Eva's just melting in her seat, basically. But I do appreciate when Eva was finally able to just be like, you know what, I have so much to get off my chest about you, Shane, that like the rest of the panel, sit back, eat the popcorn, watch what's gonna go down.
And everyone's just like watching this like verbal tennis match, essentially, between the two of them.
It was hot though. Like, that's what you like kind of imagine between writers and famous, you know, successful writers, and mm-hmm. the way that they've been, you know, writing stuff. Although I have so many bones to pick with Shane, but the fact that he was basically plagiarizing Eva's life for his books and his success,
the most intimate moments of her life too.
Yeah,
you know?
Very private. And I get that he was trying to speak to her, but it's also like, you're using the worst parts of me that, you know, that she's been hiding. I mean, she changed her name and everything and moved, for God's sake, you know, like that was part of her she wanted to leave behind. And the fact that he was able to profit off of that and be so famous, and then not wanting the fame, like, it's just, Tia writes some complicated characters.
Yes, and I was going to say, and be infinitely, I don't even want to say like fame is the most important thing here, but the kind of recognition that he's getting, the kind of awards he's receiving, yes, and the way people speak about him and his work compared mm-hmm. to Eva and her work, but it's her life that everyone's like, he's this literary genius and he's a once in a generation writer. And it's like, y'all are like passing Eva off as just some like, oh, she's just some romance writer. But that is her story.
Yeah.
And I love that she kind of reclaimed it at the mm-hmm. end, like in writing about her family, that full circle moment. I really appreciated that. Oh, her mom. Real piece of work.
Okay, the audiobook did amazing job.
Perfect. With accent. So good.
I loved it. I was just like, it's syrupy sweet, and oh my gosh, she's a wildcat. Like, this woman, like, so many bad decisions, but she's just so fun to listen to and try to understand, like, how does Eva come from this? It's like they're so totally different people, but oh my gosh, her mom is the piece of work.
She really is. And if y'all are listening to this and you have not read the book somehow, some way, I would definitely recommend an audiobook, because yeah, it gives a whole new layer to the experience.
Yes. Yes.
And so I highly recommend, if you can, to listen to the audiobook. It's funny actually, because Nobody's Magic is another one that I'm doing this season, and I listen to the audiobooks around the same time, and the same narrator for Eva narrates one of the characters in Nobody's Magic.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Okay, I'm gonna have to put that on my TBR.
Because I'm listening and I'm like, hold on, her voice sounds really, really familiar. So I like went and looked it up, and yeah, it was her. I was like, oh, that's cool. And she also like has a Southern accent. So yeah. So yeah, if y'all haven't listened to Nobody's Magic, if you haven't listened to Nobody's Magic or read that yet, I highly recommend doing that on audio as well. But back to 7 Days. I'm looking at my notes trying to see if there was anything else I wanted to discuss that we haven't gotten to.
Oh, do we want to talk about how Chang was kind of like a big brother?
Yeah, like I appreciated what he was doing in the sense of, like, he knows exactly what it's like to feel like there's nobody there for you. And, like, it broke my heart thinking about Shane's childhood. It really did. And the guilt he carries from, like, what happened to his foster mom and then everything that has happened in his life since then. And so I thought it was really sweet that he told these kids, like, no matter where I am, no matter what time it is, like, I'll be there for you. And he was, essentially. What happened with Ty was heartbreaking. Like, I kind of wish... I know there had to be a catalyst to kind of trigger his old behavior of running away or self-sabotaging, but Ty dying was really hard to stomach.
That was intense. Like, I honestly thought I was just going to be a coma and then maybe wake up. And then, you know, Ty'd be, you know, going on that date with that girl and becoming like a famous planetarium scientist or something later. That was truly sad. And I think that trigger of going back to like how Shane left Eva, you know, when she was overdosing as a teen and his mom or her mom, excuse me, you know, getting him arrested and locked up away. I think him wanting to always be available for those kids and just like always there, I think it probably stems from that past trauma of not being able to be there for Eva when she really, really, really needed him. Mm-hmm. So maybe that was why he like really got to the, you know, big brother type of thing, or just going to the worst schools and trying to find those at-risk youths and really just trying to steer them on the right path. And to be honest, I'm actually surprised that Shane did like go back and, you know, after, you know, Ty's passing, I was surprised that he did like contact Eva again and try to like apologize and stuff, because I felt it was just like, it was so intense, because he might have seen, you know, a flashback of Eva, you know, being passed out. He didn't know if she died, you know, back then. Like, the fact that Ty did, he could have just reinvented the wheel in his head and been like, oh my god, like, this is my fault too, and
I need to stay far away from her.
I need to stay far away. Yeah, because now there's a child involved, Audrey, you know, and the fact that he thinks that he can make someone die, like, he thinks that he's that bad that he has those effects on people. Like, I'm very surprised that he went back and like, I want to try to be friends and I want to apologize and all that. Like, that was intense. I don't know if I could get over that either, actually.
Yeah, it was. And I just, again, like, I wasn't expecting that to come from the book. And like, as we're talking about it, you know, I was really frustrated with Shane's lack of communication. I even said it earlier in this episode, like, it was annoying or frustrating to me. It was really annoying when I was reading the book, but like, I didn't even think about it the way that you just phrased it, in that it's triggering for him. Probably it probably reminds him exactly of what happened before with Eva, and I can completely understand now why he kind of tried to remove himself. I mean, he came back to explain, but that moment where he's like, I know I can't do this. And she's like, I know, that all makes much more sense if he's relating it to what happened before. Mm-hmm. I just thought of something while you were talking to the novella we get could be Shane being the teacher at Audrey's school.
Oh my God. Yes. I forgot about that. Yes.
Like her talking about him teaching there and like how's that all going? Cause I think that is going to be really great. And I'm looking forward. I was looking forward to it when the book ended. Cause I think he does make a great teacher I think that's a great profession for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he genuinely cares. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was like, I think it was great because it's structured versus him just like popping up in a school and just trying to like help a kid and like have their, you know, text him at all times and hours. Like, I think him being able to be in the classroom and constantly mold all those minds over, it could be good for him. But the whole him just like being a rogue mentor, like he's just, that's not the best way to... Like, I think he's trying to still conquer his own demons through helping these kids, you know? So I forgot about him being the substitute teacher going to be the substitute teacher at Audrey's place. Cause that was like the point of like, everything's perfect and happy and like, yay, 7 days in June is so cute. And then
he'll be together and he'll teach and her daughter loves him. And yeah. And then, cause like, it got to that point, like they're at the party that her friend / editor is throwing.
Yes.
And I was like, they're so happy. They're going public with their relationship. And I was like, hold up. There's like 40-ish, 50-ish pages of the book left. What's going to happen? And then I was like, of course, it couldn't be all peach keen roses, sunshine, unicorns. And like, I know that's not realistic. Like, you're right. Like, it couldn't have ended that way because there's way too many unanswered questions. And I think it goes right back to what I was saying at the beginning of the episode, that they used each other to like, put a band-aid on their pain essentially, and like that's just never gonna work because the pain is still there. And
yeah,
that would have just been, I think, a highly unrealistic ending for an otherwise very realistic story, but it was painful.
Yeah, like I appreciate that she didn't just end on such a happy note. Like, she kind of just gave us a glance of what it could be, but sorry, reality still has to come in, and you know, there's still so many things that they have to deal with. And honestly, it's one of the more, when I think of the books that I read that are romance, you know, it's one of the more greater fleshed out types of, you know, analysis on what a relationship is. Because I think, you know, in society, we always think, okay, you date and then you get married, you have the kids and you're happy and da da da, that's it. But there's not many books that really discuss and delve into like the hard parts and, you know, like, why should we be together? And like, what's, you know, things that I have to work through, you have to work through, and how do we communicate and work through them together? Or how do we, you know, like, they are very mature about this, realizing that there are some things that we have to do apart and figure out how we are as, you know, individual people. Because I, you know, like RuPaul says, you know, if you can't love yourself, then how the hell are you gonna love somebody else?
It's so true. And I feel like people think, like, because, like, you're right, in movies and books, generally, when it's romance, it doesn't show the kind of grittier aspects of it. Because I feel like people, I don't know if they think it doesn't sell or it's not as appealing, but I think we should be talking about that, because mm-hmm. I think that the opposite gives people very unrealistic expectations about relationships. Like, when it's not sunshine, unicorn, rainbows, people are like, oh, it's too hard, or, you know, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And it's like, committing your life to another person, whether that be marrying them or just being together, sharing your life with someone, is messy. It's difficult. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like, both people have to be prepared and willing to work through whatever comes up.
Yeah.
And so oh God, I was just saying, I like that she gave us that. We got finally see an example of that.
Seriously. Yeah. Because I think it's almost tradition to write that feel good love story. When you think of romance, you think, you know, it's really, you know, beautiful and sunshines, or it's like, it's really hot, like sex and okay, unrealistic is whatever, like 50 Shades of Grey. no shade. I read all the books and, you know, watched all the movies, but you know, it's not real. And I think that, you know, now that things have gotten so intensely real in reality, you know, with the pandemic and all of us having to reassess our own lives and stuff, I think it's great that we're able to talk about these things, you know, mental health issues and drug-related issues and, you know, just the things that we actually, you know, are feeling and coping with every day, and being able to actually, you know, it's also like how now you're seeing so many stories that feature people of color in as the main characters, not just the supporting characters or the, like, you know, the best friend with the jokes, whatever, like being able to see ourselves fully with all of our, you know, our the bad parts of us and the parts that we don't generally, you know, present in public or on Instagram or Facebook. You know, it's like, no, this is a real human experience that's fully realized in this book. And I think that's wonderful that, you know, there are more authors out there like Tia Williams that are doing this. Yeah. And also, isn't she having a movie?
I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm ready and waiting. I kind of want it to be so
excited.
I'm more of a fan. I like when adaptations are miniseries instead of movies, because like for a book, there's so many little details that I feel like sometimes in a movie it just is too rushed. So yes. Hit us with like a 6-episode miniseries. Perfect. Here for it. Can't wait. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's coming to Netflix.
I would not mind if it was on Netflix. Yeah, that'd be amazing. Because I'm thinking of like the movie adaptations, like Harry Potter. I remember being so pissed about so many scenes that were just completely erased because there's not enough time. And
there is
the way you have to translate the text to the visual. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to keep in. But yeah, oh my gosh, a miniseries would be great.
Yes. I just feel like if you're going book adaptation, you got to go miniseries. Like Little Fire. I have my own. If y'all want my opinions on the Little Fires Everywhere adaptation, you can listen to our episode on it. Because I love that they made it a show. There were some changes made that I have a couple of questions on. I just want to talk. That's it. But all in all, like it's fine. It was fine. I liked the book better. But yeah, I was going to say, actually, because thinking about another series that was adapted, or another book that was adapted to a series, was Normal People, which I feel like they did amazing on, like so, so good. But when we were talking about their relationship and how this book is a little bit of a more accurate portrayal of like of all aspects of a relationship, I really like that we're also starting to challenge this idea or this notion that people have to be together at all costs. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's another kind of romance trope, is even if they're not totally good for each other or right for each other or whatever it may be, everyone's still always rooting for them to be together. And that's what I liked about Normal People, is like they, spoiler, so maybe skip ahead a minute if you haven't listened to it. Have you read it or listened to it?
I actually haven't. No, okay, but I'm just like,
let me stop. Because I haven't said anything like crazy yet, but I was okay. Going to go into like the ending. I will pause. And then after you, if you read it ever, message me. I'll tell you my thoughts on that. But it's just another very accurate portrayal, I think, of a relationship in the good and the bad. And that's what I really loved about it. So highly recommend. Is there anything else you want to say about the book? I'm realizing we're coming up on time here.
Oh my gosh, there's so many things. Ah.
And no pressure.
Yeah. I'm just like thinking of like the perfect thing to end with, but.
We usually just end on a like, would you recommend? But I feel like, obviously, you know?
Yes. I am a huge fan of this book. I'm a huge fan of Tia Williams. Like I'm looking to the other works that, you know, she's written too. Oh my gosh. I think, wow. You know what? I think I can't. Okay, actually, let me not say that. I was going to say, I don't think I can stomach like the regular romance novels anymore after this, where everything's happy, like looking for conflict.
I need more.
Like, this is definitely one of those books for people who think that they hate romance and that they're not romance readers. I think this is a beautiful representation of what romance can be and what it really kind of is in real life, because even the most like happiest couples you see, you know, stuff happens behind closed doors, you know, maybe not as toxic as this, hopefully not as toxic as this book. But I think this is an awesome book that everyone should use the audiobook for. Libro FM, like, you know, support your local bookstores. And yeah, I highly recommend this book. I love this so much. And I keep going back and forth if I want Shane and Eva to stay together and have more babies, or if I just want Eva to do her own badass thing and, you know, conquer the world and write what she actually wants to write. I actually thought that was beautiful too. Like her she's being able to, yeah, she's herself and break free from what people expect of her, what her fans expected of her, you know, and actually be herself. Like that was, I think that's one of the most powerful messages that came from this book, you know, like love yourself, choose yourself. Like it might be a hot, hot man waiting in the wings, but you know, I love how she began with, like, literally how this book begins with her choking from her.
Yes, I was like, that is a hell of a of an opening. Okay,
that like pulled me in immediately. I was like, yes, girl. Okay, yeah. But yeah, once you get all that out, you know, choose yourself. Okay, like,
I think they might be better suited as friends, good friends.
I think so, and I think that's okay. That's really okay, and I think that's actually a kind of friend that she does need, because you know when she came to New York she had a totally different persona. She wanted to hide everything about her past, and having Shane there, someone who really knows her from the beginning and wants her to open up and be herself, I think that's awesome. So I'm fine with them staying as friends, and I'm also fine with them growing and communicating as lovers.
Taking it step by step. I completely agree. So like, yeah, y'all, I mean, if you've gotten to this point of the episode, I think, you know, we recommend it. It will blow you away. And like, it will like just shatter expectations. Cause that's definitely what it did for me. And it's one of the few instances of a book living up to the hype. So rush out, audiobook it. And then let us know your thoughts as usual on Instagram or Discord or wherever it suits your fancy to chat with us. Go ahead and follow Liz. I'm going to have all of her information in our show notes, so you can go to her Instagram, check it out. It's great. Thank you so much again for joining. I'm so happy that we got to do this book in particular, because I know how much you enjoyed it. And it was just so nice to talk about it with someone else who appreciates it.
Oh my gosh, I love geeking out about it with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.